Welcome to the Wonderland Radio Hour, coming to you live from the historic Rio Theater, situated on the Russian River. For the next hour, we'll be bringing you stories, music, history, and personalities from all along the lower Russian River. Today's focus is the town of Forestville, where the river meets the redwoods. Grab your paddle, here we go! And now, please welcome to our Wonderland radio stage, our river guide and host, Mr. Paul Dubray.
Well, thank you very, very much. We are beyond honored. This project started, and it's a very community-based, community-oriented project. Our whole mission was to bring back some memories, bring back the reason that the river is the way the river is, why we're here, why we enjoy such a beautiful place. And I honestly, I've lived in a lot of places. I think this is the most beautiful place in the whole earth. Thank you. One of the things that makes it the most beautiful for me is the community that embraces each other. I have seen a lot of things go on throughout our community since we've lived here. Myself, I've lived here with my partner for 5 years now. And through adversity, Sonoma County is an amazing group of people. So I want you all to applaud yourselves for that. Look to your neighbor, say thank you. We're all in this together, and we're all here to have some fun. So our first guest is going to set the scene for us, I believe. We have to set forth a historical value to this program. So we couldn't do that without a very well-known historian, someone who has dedicated 50 years into gathering information, gathering stories, and be willing to share that with us. So I'd like to welcome to the stage Mr. John Schubert. There you go.
Thank you. Anyway, to kind of set the scene for what this program is given, I have to start with back before even the Spaniards showed up, and the Mexicans and the Russians. The river takes a unique turn coming off the plains of Santa Rosa and cuts through here. And when you come to Guerneville, you got the place called the Big Bottom. It's where Guerneville School is. And the river used to loop north of Guerneville and come down to Guernwood, Northwood, and here. Eventually, the river about 5,000 years ago cut across and created this oxbow to which was such a unique area for redwoods to grow. Everything was just perfect. And with that, area was only used by the Native Americans, the Kashaya Pomos and the Southern Pomo, strictly as a highway during summertime, during the fair weather, and had camps here, never a permanent village. And so with the exploration coming north by the Spaniards and the Mexicans starting in 1775, with Bodega and the Spanish explorers going up to Alaska, coming up and down the coast, the Russians kind of got a hint about what was going on, and so they started coming over through Alaska, et cetera. When they established their fur companies up in Alaska, they couldn't sustain themselves with the foodstuffs. They just didn't have it, so they started coming down, as many of you probably know, started coming down to San Francisco to see if they could trade. This is about 1806, to establish trade back and forth. Well, the Russians weren't supposed to be trading with the Spaniards, and the Spaniards weren't supposed to be with the Russians. So they came down about 5 years later in 1811 and established the Port of Bodega for their warehouse and offices. But to really get established, they went up to Fort Ross. Mexicans and the Spaniards saw and heard what was going on. So they started coming up not only through the coast, but through the Santa Rosa Valley and past Petaluma. And they came occasionally would come back and forth. The Russians came up the river in 1813, thereabouts, trying to establish a farm, which they did over by Mirabel, the Forestville area, Trenton Hill. It didn't work out. When they grew wheat, it got rust. The moles, the voles, the gophers, and everything else kind of destroyed it. So they pulled back to the coast. Okay, going a step forward, the Russians pulled out in 1841, excuse me. They were here for 30 years, 1841. Sold out to Sutter. Sutter grabs the materials, the stuff that he wants, over to Fort Ross, or Fort Sutter. And so he had a vacuum in between here. Well, in the meantime, then the Americans start expanding. With the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo in 1845, we started getting more and more pioneers coming in. Well, the people who already had the Spanish land grants and the Mexican lands grants, they had already taken the best land that was available. Also, you know, on the coast as well as inland. So you have this vacuum in between. Granted, it was forest. It wasn't much for farming. But as newcomers came into the state, into this area, they kept getting pushed or searching further and further into the forest. And the same thing coming upriver. So finally, about 1855, 1860, the people coming from Santa Rosa Valley, coming downriver, and then you had the people coming up, like the Duncans from off the coast, and golly, who else? Smith from down in Bodega. Those people started coming up. And the last area that really got settled and was turned into commercial properties, quote unquote commercial, those who had crops or was doing lumbering, was about 1860, 1857, thereabouts, with the people who finally made their homesteads here in the river. So you had this people, you had these people filling the gap in between, and this is the last area that was settled on the river. Forestville on one end, and you had Jenner, the mouth of the river, at the other, and the people coming in. That's finally what started settling this area and then opening it up for logging and lumbering.
Well, thank you, John. I certainly appreciate that, and I know that our community appreciates your contribution to us, and we're very, very honored to have you. Well, speaking of history, we are about to learn a little bit more about some wonderful group of people who established a clubhouse nearly 70 years ago. Can anybody imagine what that was or what it was named? There you go, Hollydale, absolutely.
So welcome to the Hollydale Community Club. We're celebrating our 71st year here on the Lower Russian River.
John Condon's family started spending summers here in the 60s. Condon is the driving force and archivist for the club. His collection includes an old recording of Grace Reinshagen, who recalls how it all began.
Well, the people around there decided they wanted to get together and start a community club. So they didn't have any money, and they decided that they would buy bonds. So they all bought bonds for around $100 a bond, and that started to build the clubhouse.
Today, volunteers arrive early to prep for the club's monthly community breakfast.
Hello.
Hi.
Charles Adkins is on potato duty.
You know, at this point, I'm retired. I got the time. I'm going to be around for a while, so that's why it gives me something that's really positive to do, and I'm into positivity.
Kevin Montgomery has put in his time here.
I've been coming to the Russian River since I was 8 years old. Became involved through John Condon 30 plus years ago. 71 years in the making, and we'll see if somebody doesn't want to step up.
Our first customers are here.
Wayne.
Wayne's always our first patron.
Any opportunity to avoid having to cook is a plus in my life.
My name is Jim Tranquina. My family moved to the house across the street here in 1960, so I've been coming here since I was a little kid.
My name is Andrea, and I actually live right across the street. I guess I've been coming for 3 years since I lived here.
Hi, I'm Tim Sergent. I think it's a real gem for the community, and I love how it's run by families that have a long history here, and I just really appreciate the effort they put in to keep it going.
Besides the regular social activities, the club also sponsors a scholarship fund to benefit Forestville school kids and a happiness fund to help residents in need. Volunteer Larry Williams talked about another benefit of the clubhouse.
The 95 flood, about 100 people had brought all their refrigerator freezer stuff. It was the biggest food fest I'd ever experienced.
There's not many more community clubs similar to this out here on the river. All these towns used to have them.
So tell me again, what does it take to be a member?
$40 for a family for a year. And I think for an individual, I don't recall.
I think it's 30, but there's
it's
no...
It's kind of flexible as
no
far
tests.
As Johnny.
The criteria is pretty simple if you just want to come and have a good place. So
yeah, you don't have to be a member, but it sure does help.
It sure does.
And if you were to come by and take a look and you'd say, hey, man, that's a pretty comfy place. You guys are doing a great job. And we look forward to seeing you at one of our breakfasts and become a member and get involved with any community organization that you can.
I can tell you guys spend a lot of time working here. I know you have a lot of fun, too, but what motivates you to do this?
We want to go to heaven.
It is good karma. I am just not going to let this go and walk away from it.
Remember Andrea? Would you personally maybe get involved to help?
Definitely, yeah, definitely. I would love to, actually.
Here's to keeping river traditions alive and well.
Come on up. Come on up. John Condon, Charles Atkin. So, gentlemen, you're celebrities. Is there anything that you guys would like to add?
I think what you see a lot of is a community that really likes to support our friends, our families. This is a club that has really a long history of 70 years. And it takes people to get involved, to see what's there. And if you like it, you know, step up, be a part of it. And it's really rewarding to be a part of an organization. Our club is one example of an organization that's we try to be like good deed doers. And so if you see an organization or a club that, you know, that you looks appealing to you, step up, put your hand out there, say, hey, I want to help. I want to be part of this because it is really a rewarding situation, and it makes your life really fulfilled by just, you know, being involved with your community and love, you know, your area and support it, because that's how we all grow together.
Sure, absolutely. John, anything that you'd like to add?
Yes, it really has to do with a sense of community. In the early 60s, I was fortunate to be able to attend the Russian River Sportsman's Club out in Duncan's Mills as a kid, and saw the good times and the Christmas parties and the fellows getting together and just family, and kind of parlayed that into the neighborhood that I grew up in. Our family moved there in the 60s, and every Saturday night was a social function. That's how I remember it, running around as a kid, and then kind of got away from it for a while, and then moved back into the leadership role of the community club and trying to keep that going. And it's been about 30 years now, and we feel we're about the third generation of people that have operated the place and kept it going, and it's about time to turn it over to the fourth.
Sure. And how's that coming? Do you have a lot of younger people that are the next generation down? Or
we
involved?
Totally do. Our breakfasts has really been an asset to our clubhouse. We were finding a point in, I guess, in our era there was the dinners were hard to gather families and friends to come to the clubhouse because there was so much going on in Sonoma County that we had to find another little niche. So our last Sunday of the month community breakfasts has filled that. It's filled the checkbook, and we're turning that right over to improvements on the facility, And we're always welcoming new members. You don't have to live in Hollydale to be a part of the Hollydale Community Club. Everybody's welcome, especially everyone in this room.
Thank you. Well, that's really nice to see that the tradition is strong and that we've got younger generations that are coming up to support that, because your efforts have been amazing. And I think that you should be honored and rewarded for that. It takes a lot of tenacity and a lot of drive and dedication.
Well, this also is really a supportive effort on KRCB and public radio and all the folks here that have put this together. I didn't know if we were just going to be sitting around a picnic table today or what.
Well, it's a little more than a picnic table.
Yes, but thank you so much.
And thank you. Thank
also,
you
for this is really important to be involved like this, so you will be able to go to heaven.
I was just going to ask you, how are you feeling about that journey right now?
I feel elated. And, you know, it's just one more step in front of the other one and just keep going.
Yeah.
And if you're a good deed doer, you'll most likely get there.
Absolutely. And I believe you're well on your way, journey. Great.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you so much, everyone.
There we go.
Yeah. Good job. Well, looks like I bet we're going to probably be seeing a lot more of each other, you and I, at the breakfasts, I would imagine. Now, we're going to move on to our next segment.
And now, please welcome to our wonderful Wonderland stage from Forestville, California, Paul Parker, singing Right on Target, which topped the Billboard Dance Club Singles Chart for 2 weeks running in 1982. Let's hear it for Paul!
Hello, friends. How you doing?
Tell me. Come tell me what's your secret. How do you know what you know? You can see right through me, deep into my soul. Maybe you've got magic powers in your mind. Mysteries unfolding. Through and through, you're right on target. Feeling like a river flowing to the sea. Nothing stops emotion in the hand of destiny. Let your arrow fly, judging all the anger with an eagle's eye. Yeah. Cause if you're thinking I'll be loving you, you're right on target. Love is an arrow, shoots me through and through, you're right on target. If you're thinking I'll be loving you, you're right on target. Love is an arrow and your aim is true, you're right on target. You're right on target. Cause if you're thinking I'll be loving you, you're right on target.
love is an arrow, shoots me through and through, you're right on target.
Well, thank you, everybody. Great to see you here. Thank you, friends. Hello. Hey. You're right on. You're right on target. Yeah. You're right on. You're right on target. Yeah. You're right on. You're right on. You're right on target.
Whoa! Whoa! There we go. There's some energy. Awesome, awesome job. How many of you guys remember Paul? We were all grooving back in the day, right? That was good. That's awesome. So, Paul, I understand that that song has taken you all over the world.
Yes. I went to Australia. That was a good one. And they brought me out at a place like the Cow Palace. So it's this huge place outside. It's summer here, July. In July in Australia, it's kind of cold. So it was supposed to be 70 degrees, and it ended up 50 degrees that night. So we're all out in this place. They're barefoot. They're ready to dance. They're having a good time. They bring me out on a big cherry picker. So I get on this this platform. It goes up in the air like this. I'm on it. They ride me in. I'm up there, and I start singing right on target. I take a step, and it goes, doing.
Oh, no. Oh,
I'm
no.
I'm like a big bobblehead. So that's how glamorous it was in the 80s.
That's showbiz, right? That's showbiz.
So I went to the biggest disco in Germany. It was in Essen, which is not really the city you want to go visit in Germany so much. It's kind of the industrial city. So, but it was a giant, it was colossal. It had acres and acres of balconies. So that was fun. And then I went to London quite a bit, Mexico, all over the world, really. So I left San Francisco, I saw the world, and then I moved here in 1986.
And now you're here, you've been here from 86 on the river, and what is your connection now with that?
My first connection was 4 years old, and my family would come up from the city. And this is 1956. So we'd leave the city. It would take 2.5 hours to get here. We would get in an open air truck, two or three kids in the back with a blanket. And that was fine. You know, they didn't call Child Protective Services in those days.
And those were the days when you had enough children to spread around. Right.
So, really. So we're in this truck and we're laying in the back. And the bridge, if you watch the bridge, those big cables, it feels like a giant elevator.
Ooh.
So you watch the cables, and you concentrate, and you go down, and then you come back up. And as a kid, you're like, oh, wow, that's amazing. And so that was about 7 or 8 years old. But at 4 years old, I got my first sunburn at Johnson's Beach. And I remember that. And we all did. It was six kids, my parents, two kids, my aunt and uncle, my other uncle and aunt with five kids. So there was a lot of us. All sunburned. So my aunt bought a property right across from Martinelli Road in Forestville. So we lived on that property as little river rats from the time I was 5 till the time I was 15. And absolutely loved the place, absolutely loved the river. So if we were lucky, 3 weeks every summer with the parents, and then every weekend that we could get up to the place. And just... It's a wonderland.
It is wonderland. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we're so very happy to have you here, and thank you very much for becoming a part of our first program.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Take care. All right. Paul Parker, everybody, a big round of applause. Thank you. I don't think that you've seen enough of the 80s yet. I really don't think you've seen enough of the 80s.
That's right, Paul. We're not ready to leave the 80s just yet. We do have another special, very special guest all the way from far off Guerneville. Some of you will remember her from her days performing in clubs all around the Bay Area.
Yes, I do. You build me up.
Go Torch!
Don't break up.
Buttercup, don't break my heart.
Wow! Wow, wow, wow. Was that not some fun?
Thank you.
There you go. Our own torch. Wow, that was so incredible. So tell me how it became that you did that remix. Because originally 60s Foundations, right?
Mm-hmm. That's then, right.
And then you know, they're gone, and then it's Torch. So, like, how did it become the Torch's song?
Well, I was with my band. We used to come up from the city all the time and rehearsed, and you know, was playing around the city, and we'd come up to a place called the Russian River Lodge, which I believe is where the farmhouse is now, and also at the Rusty Nail, which was down at.
Oh God! Yes, there's a lot of groans. Do you hear all the groans
yes,
in the audio?
Oh, God. Okay, then you know. That I was there, and all the places that I wanted to, you know, sing at in the city, I never got the opportunity to. But all of the owners from those places came up to the Russian River on weekends, and I was singing there. They said, you know, you'd be great at my club in the city. I'd be like, oh, really? Okay, good. I just auditioned for you last week. You know, yeah, no problem. So this one gentleman came up and he saw me at the lodge and wanted to make a record. And that's where it all started.
That's where it all started. Yeah. Well, you know, we have the fun beginnings and the fun, fond memories of the beginnings. Now, of course, you live here.
Yes. Oh, yes. My partner, Carrie, and I own the Bia Cafe.
Just down the road?
Monterey Golf Course.
Very good. Well, thank you so very much.
It's my pleasure.
So you haven't heard the last of Paul and Torch. We're going to bring them back at the end of the show. They're going to sing a duet together.
Woohoo.
Okay, and they'll sing us
all right. Thanks, everybody, so much for making it here today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Wow, wow, wow. Okay, so we're going to take a little walk in the park. So sit back and relax.
Forestville has several treasures that the surrounding community shares. It's two privately funded parks. They are unique because the downtown park and youth park are solely supported by events and fundraisers. The youth park's signature lies in its baseball fields through the efforts of the Youth Betterment Association.
I'm Frank Anderson. I was born and raised in Forestville, son of Frank L. Andy Anderson and Virginia Ross Anderson. My father, along with several other people, got together and formulated an idea for the youth park back in 1960. It mattered to a core group of people. I think maybe the idea may have been floated out through Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts parents and leaders, because there really wasn't anything other than that for youth to do in Forestville. One of the first things they wanted to put in for the kids was a baseball field. And so they actually went down to Candlestick Park and watched the Giants game, and what they came away with was, okay, well, if you put left field where they have left field and right field where they have right field, it'll be perfect. It'll fit just right. And then they scaled it back down to Little League size. All of those early things that took place in the park are all really good memories for me.
Tom Sheridan is a volunteer and board member of the youth park.
We have three baseball fields. We have a soccer field. We have a very nice playground area. And it's just a nice place to be. As far as we know, it's a privately funded, privately owned entity. We don't know of any, at least in the state of California, but there's some people have said, this side of the Mississippi, that's this way. We take no money from any government agency, whether it be county, state, or federal. It's totally funded by our two annual events that we do. One is the barbecue that we have every year, and then we also have a golf tournament and auction.
My name is Martha Garfield. We moved here in 1957 when I was pregnant with my daughter. I was secretary of the youth park for the first 7 years when it started, and that was fun. Well, I'm so proud of the whole community coming in. I don't remember anybody just not wanting to help and build the park.
Frank shares quotes from the minutes of meetings taken during the early gatherings by the youth park founders that also embraces the vision of a newly proposed skate spot.
Forestville Youth Betterment Association, which is what they called it then. It's an organization of adults for youth. And then another quote was, anything that we can do to drag kids into the park, we need to do. The early days, it was baseball. Now you're considering a skate park. Some people don't necessarily think that's a very good idea, but if you go back to what the founders said, it's perfectly in line.
My name's Ellery Kuntz. I'm 18 years old. I grew up in Forestville. I love to skateboard, and I'm using my passion to hopefully give back to the community.
My name's Jackie Brazil, and I am Ellery's mother. I am part of the Forestville Skate Spot project.
I grew up playing baseball here at the youth park. And
right here on this field.
Yep,
that
right
we're
here
at.
Actually. You can try and skate over at the Forestville Elementary School or El Molino, but they'll kick you out.
Ellery's ambition to create the skate spot also helps foster a skill set and experience for other future goals.
I really want to study business marketing and doing community projects like this and learning how to interact with other organizations or how to fundraise or how to get people involved and get them excited about something that you're excited about.
Hey, how are you? Come on up.
All right.
So everyone, this is Lucy Hardcastle.
Hello.
And we just learned how Forestville had developed a park. Now I guess they've done it again, correct? Are you going to tell us all about that?
That's right. Let me tell you about it.
Okay.
All right. So, Paul, it all started, the second private park in Forestville, all started because way back in the early 2000s, we found out that the beautiful little meadow right behind downtown Forestville was going to be paved over to make room for a very large storage unit. It's like, what? How did that happen? And so in 2002, a group of folks developed called the Forestville Planning Association. And really, our purpose was just to put on town hall meetings so that we could inform the citizens, like, what's going on in our community? We should know about these things. You know, one of the early town hall meetings we had, about a couple of them a year, was to review Orrin Thiessen's plans to put a miniature Windsor in downtown Forestville. So he had the land and he had the plans and it looked really exciting, but then the market crashed.
Right.
So now, what's going to happen to that land? Well, I got the great idea of, let's get that land for the town itself. Just at that same time, the open space district was having a grant opening. It was a matching grant. And we said, well, let's apply for that, never really thinking we were going to get it. But we applied for the grant. It was a matching grant. We had to come up with a lot of money. But thanks to the Parks Department, yay, regional parks, a big contribution from them to make the downtown Forestville Park part of the trailhead. Then we got great donations from our two quarries, Bodine and Canyon Rock, and with that and some other great donations, about 175 people pulled out of their pockets some money.
Wow.
We were able to purchase that land, and now all we need to do is raise more money to put improvements in that land, Paul.
So you own the land, right? The land is now
Yes.
owned, and now you're just looking to develop it. Is that correct?
Yes. There are some of us, I'm one of them, that would like as little as possible and just to have it a sweet little open space as you head into the West County Trail. I kind of like that idea of this is just land that we can is just kind of relax in.
Sure.
And use for example, our annual tree lighting ceremonies or our farmers markets that runs from Tuesdays, spring through fall. Lots of other little community gatherings that we get to have there now.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful space. It's a perfect location, of course. It's right there in the middle of town. So, of course, it would be a gathering space for the community.
Right. It's next to the pharmacy, in case you hadn't been there. And we are just really excited about the fact that not only could those folks in the 60s create a private park just because they saw a need for it, but you can still do that. It's amazing.
Right. You can.
Yeah. So I'm here to encourage people, if you see an opportunity, seize it. Because as one of my old mentors when I was young, Margaret Mead, she said, never doubt that a small group of dedicated people could really do amazing things. And I'm here to say that's true.
Right. That's very true. Well, thank you very much, Lucy. We certainly appreciate your time. Okay. Well, we've got something else in store for you.
We last saw River Ranger riding out into the sunset. Aha, but wait, he's turned around. Perhaps he's forgotten something.
Thank you, folks. Thank you so much. You know, actually, I did forget something. I forgot how many people on the river still enjoyed hearing some of the stories I used to tell on Stumptown Radio Roundup. So I've got a story for you today about Spears Market in Forestville. Now, James Spear, the original owner, started a gas station on that property back in 1931. After World War II, he sold it to his son Howard and his wife Lillian. Now, Howard and Lillian added a small store, a bar, and a card room, and ran it all successfully for many years. Well, as you probably know, since you've probably visited the market, it really prospered above all the other businesses. And Howard and Lillian lived in the back of the store, right behind the store. And every night when they closed, they went from the back of the store into the back of their house through their back door because it faced the back of the store. Now, they always carried a handgun with them because you just never know what you might meet out there in the dark. Well, in the middle of the night, sure enough, back in 1985, someone knocked at their front door. Now, that was unusual because nobody came to their front door. So while they were on their way to answer the front door, Lillian grabbed the gun off of the kitchen table where they kept it and went out to meet whoever was out there. Well, they opened the door and here stood somebody who said that somebody was trying to rob the store and they needed to come out and take care of it right away. So they went out with the man, and when they got out on the front porch, he pulled a gun out and said he was the one that was going to rob that store. Well, Lillian, who was 74 at the time, she says, "No, you aren't. You aren't going to rob our store. We're not going to open that up. Forget it." Well, that made the robber mad, and unfortunately, he shot Howard. And that made Lillian mad. Well, she pulled the gun, and she shot the robber dead. Yep. On the spot. So, another interesting thing, a little later they found out that the robber must have shot a second time because Lillian discovered a bullet hole in the collar of her blouse. Woo! That was a close one. Yep. Now, unfortunately, Howard only lived a few more weeks. After that, he was 79 when he passed away. So, robbers, beware of the folks of Forestville, because even the elderly, they're ready and willing to protect their property. All right. Thank you. We'll see you all next month.
Thank you. Well, who was that mysterious man? All right, another round of applause, please. Our next story actually goes right... It's right up the hill from Spears Market. It's called Pals.
Wait, let me open your door. Good, Tesla. Good job, you guys. Hey, Cruiser, we're going outside.
It's playtime for the puppies here at the headquarters of Pals, or Paws as Loving Support Assistance Dogs.
We're located in Forestville on 2 acres of property. We have 5 different dog play yards.
Founder Nancy Pearson lives here with her husband, son, her mother, and up to 10 dogs.
I'm very passionate about dogs, obviously, and I also wanted to mainly serve children because I feel that children who have disabilities are underserved.
So Nancy started Pals to train service dogs for these children.
Okay, we have our service dogs who are placed with children and young adults who have diagnosed disabilities, including autism, Down syndrome, mobility impairments.
But she didn't stop there. Pals volunteers and their dogs serve in a wide range of situations. There are facility dogs who work at the Sonoma County Office of Education, Juvenile Hall, the airport.
And then we have our courthouse dogs, and they work in the district attorney's office, and they help victims and witnesses of violent crimes.
Then there are social therapy and reading dog teams who visit senior centers, libraries, and schools.
And we also have comfort dog teams who respond to deaths or tragedies at schools.
The mood on campus is heavy. That's why Brittany and Jesse are here.
Oh my God, they're so cute.
They're therapy dogs from Pause's Loving Support, giving fellow students what grief counseling sometimes can't.
We also responded immediately after the shootings out at Yountville Veterans Home.
After a gunman took three women hostage at a Yountville Veterans Home, investigators confirming the worst possible outcome.
We got the call the night before, and it was raining, and it was a miserable morning.
Responding to the killings at the Yountville Veterans Home was personal for this PALS Comfort Dog team.
My name is Frank Broom. I'm a Vietnam veteran, and Stella is first and foremost my PTSD service dog. Her service to me is to get me out of the house and around people. It was the suggestion that she become a therapy dog to work in the community to get me out of the house. Stella, place. Very good. Good girl. These comfort dogs are trained to work in an environment that is a crisis. High stress situations.
Now Frank and Stella have a new stop every week, visiting the vets at Yountville.
If we had something like this years ago, maybe so many of us wouldn't be suffering from what we have now. I don't flashback or have any of those kind of things. It's more like, God, I know what you're going through. And I think Stella does the same thing. She just knows.
Good morning. Good morning, Star.
It's Thursday, and Karen Sandvik and her Pomeranian Star are doing the rounds, visiting three area senior homes.
You want to visit with Star?
Oh, sure. Why not?
Why not?
You okay?
Yeah.
Are you okay with that?
Oh, she's great with that.
Oh.
Karen volunteers 60 hours a week at PALS, and while Nancy focuses on training, Karen coordinates the dog teams.
But I have 70 volunteers out right now in the community.
And we're taking care of dementia residents, so the dog is very therapeutic for them.
Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you.
See you later.
Thank you so much. It just does something for me. Yeah.
Makes your day, huh?
Yes.
It really does. Yeah.
Everyone, this is Nancy Pearson. Nancy, thank you so much for all your efforts in this project, your dedication as well, and I know that you've brought a lot of light and a lot of hope and a lot of comfort to many, many, many people.
Thank you so very much.
You're welcome. So what we're going to do is we're going to recreate one of their best programs, and that is the Read to a Dog. Come on up here. This is Katie Rose.
Hello.
And this is Siri. Katie Rose's handler is Yvonne, and Siri's handler is Carla. And then we have three students from the Monterey School. They're going to help us out. And we have chosen a book, but I need you to do me a favor. I need you to introduce yourself. Your name is?
Lonnie.
Okay, nice and loud. Your name is?
Luna.
Nice and loud, right. And your name is?
Odom.
Odom. Awesome. Okay, and can you do me a favor and you announce the name of the book?
We are reading the book called Dog Breath.
Okay, hit it.
There was once a dog named Haley who lived with the Tosis family. Haley Tosis was a very good dog, but she had a big problem. Haley Tosis had horrible breath. Whenever Haley Tosis opened her mouth, horrible things would happen. When the children took Haley Tosis for a walk, everyone else walked. On the other side of the street, even skunks avoided Haley Tosis. But the real trouble started one day when Grandma Tosis stopped by for a cup of tea. And Haley jumped up to say hello. Mr. and Mrs. Tosis were not amused. Something has to be done about that smelly dog, they said.
There you go. Very good job. We're going to just pass it to Lonnie. Okay, are you ready, bud?
Yeah.
All right, nice and loud.
The next day, Mr. and Mrs. Tosis decided to find a new home for Haley. The children knew that the only way they could save their dog was to get rid of her bad breath.
So they took halitosis to the top of a mountain that had a breathtaking view. They hoped that the breathtaking view would take Haley's breath away, but it didn't.
Nope, did not, did it?
Next, the children took halitosis to a very exciting movie. They hoped that all the excitement would leave Haley breathless.
No.
But it didn't.
No, it didn't.
Finally, the children took halitosis to a carnival. They hoped that Haley would lose her breath on the speedy roller coaster. But that idea stunk too.
There you go. Big round of applause for Lonnie. Here we go. Okay, you ready, Odom?
Yeah.
All right.
The plans to change Haley's bad breath had failed. Now only a miracle could save halitosis. Sadly, the three friends said a good night, unaware that a miracle was just on the horizon. Later that night, when everyone was sound asleep, two sneaky burglars crept into the Tosa's house. The two burglars were tiptoeing through the dark, quiet rooms when suddenly they came upon halitosis. "Yikes," whispered one burglar. "It's a big, mean, scary dog." "Ah, don't be silly," whispered the other burglar. "That's only a cute little fuzzy puppy." The two burglars giggled at the sight of such a friendly little dog. "That dog couldn't hurt a fly," whispered one burglar. "Come here, Poochie Poochie," whispered the other. So halitosis came over and gave the burglars a big, nice kiss.
There you go.
The next morning, the Tosis family awoke to find two burglars passed out cold on their living room floor.
Uh-huh.
It was a miracle.
It was a miracle.
The Tosis family got a big reward for turning in the crooks, and soon Haley Tosis was the most famous crime-fighting dog in the country. In the end, Mr. and Mrs. Tosis changed their minds about finding a new home for Haley. They decided to keep their wonderful watchdog. This home protected by dog breath. Because life without halitosis just wouldn't make any sense.
S-C-N-T-S. Good job, guys. Awesome job. These guys are so much fun to work with. They're professionals right from the very start. There you go. So everyone say thank you. Thank you so much for the dogs, the dog handlers, Siri, Katie Rose. Okay, so hey kids, parents, go ahead and check out your local library because you can find out how you can get on the program as well to read to the dogs. Doesn't that sound like a lot of fun? I think that it's a great way to introduce kids into public speaking. I think it's an awesome way to get everyone involved. So our hour is coming to a close. We want to give a big West County thank you to a locally based trio, The Musers, for lending us their tracks from their new album, The Musers. We also need to clap and stomp for our local sponsors as well, Forestville Pharmacy, Forestville Chamber of Commerce, Carol Shiner. I want to also acknowledge everyone that has lended their support, their help to us throughout this project and this few months of gathering. So, like we promised you before, we want to bring back to the stage Paul and Torch. Hello, everybody, here we are.
Circles, confusion is nothing. time. If you fall, I will catch you. I'll be waiting. Time after time. If you're lost, you can look and you will find me. Time after time. If you fall, I will catch you. I will be waiting. Time after time.
Thank you all.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. You guys are amazing. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for hanging out and having a good time with us.
And join us next time when our focus will be on the community of Rionito, where memories linger. You can be part of the live audience at the Rio Theater on Saturday, July 28th. For details, visit wonderlandradiohour.com. This project was made possible with support from California Humanities, a nonprofit partner of the National Endowment for the Humanities. Visit www.calhume.org. That's www.calhum.org.
Live your life with no regrets. Be kind to everybody. Keep your soul fed. Then when you lay down,
come on up.